Chapter 13, A Little Trip. Every hair on Kylie's body stood up seeing Fox in her space. What do you want?
Don't be coy. Your buddy Simon gave me a demonstration of the program he wrote for you, and now I'd like to take it for a spin. Very impressive, Kylie. I did ask Simon very nicely to give it to me, but no, I couldn't get any cooperation from him.
He let out a loud sigh, sounding heavy with exhaustion.
I'm tired of playing nice with you whiz kids.
To make his point, he angled the gun from his lap to point at her heart. His gravelly voice stayed calm, as if he were trying to sound as friendly as if they had been hanging out for years. The corners of his mouth naturally fell into a nasty scowl. So frightful, Kylie had to look away. She remembered an expression she once heard. A man of 50 is responsible for his face. From Fox's thinning, oily hair, pulled into a ponytail, so he'd blend into the tech world, to the deep bags under his eyes, Jerry Fox had an evil energy. His looks alone revolted her. Plus, he reeked from too much cologne mixed with garlic. She felt pretty sure the only reason he sat on the board of a major biotech company was due to his wealth, or he must be a hell of an actor. Then Kylie remembered Natalie Saltz, who liked him. Why?
You can kill me, but then you'll still never get it.
She did her best to sound brave and reasonable, but even Kylie heard the trembling in her voice.
That'll give you 3 murders.
True, but you're going to give it to me before I kill you, he said patiently, as if he was explaining his point to an imbecile.
He patted the couch next to him.
You're a nice kid, Kylie. He pointed to her framed diplomas on the wall. And a Harvard MBA. You're a smart girl. So I think you can figure it out. It might be a very good idea for you to sit down over here next to me and demo this thing you had Simon design. What do you call it? OMG?
Yes, she whispered but did not move. His friendly, calm demeanor disappeared and became a growl.
Take a seat.
Petrified, she stared at the spot on the couch where she was being ordered to sit and weighed her options. Her eyes darted as she considered making a run for it. There were 2 possibilities. Her front door and down the steps was one way out. There was also the fire escape, but the access to that was in her bedroom. Fox could shoot her in the back either way. Kylie obeyed. She sat on the couch as far from him as possible, silently gagging on the stench of his cologne. Did he think the cloying, heavy smell would attract females? Kylie found him to be vile, and his sickening cologne was the perfect olfactory warning of his evil.
I can demo this program, she kept staring at the door. Unfortunately, you can't have it. That's actually your own fault. Simon was the only one who knew how to give access to anyone. Anyhow, he's gone. Pity for you.
You're trying my patience, Kylie. Don't insult my intelligence. I'm sure you could give me a simple login. Now open your laptop.
Kylie slowly opened it, buying time to conjure up some distant memories of karate moves from long ago. Her muscle memory didn't fail her. Suddenly, she twisted her torso and power elbowed him in his chin. Stunned from the impact, he lurched back into the couch. Still holding her laptop, she raised her arms and, with her full force, slammed a rounded corner of her MacBook into his head. Fox's dazed look gave her the second she needed to get away, but as she rose, Fox reached out and clenched her thigh with a vice-like grip. Still, he didn't have her upper body. She swiftly twisted around, using the momentum to thrust her other knee into his jaw. Stunned, he loosened his grip on the gun, and it slipped to the floor with a thud. Kylie kicked it under her couch and headed for the door. Clutching her laptop, she leaped down the stairs, taking 2 at a time. Fox's heavy feet pounded the stairs just a flight behind her. When Kylie reached the ground floor, winded, she sprinted down the hallway towards the door. His steps were getting closer as she unlocked the deadbolts. Suddenly, Fox landed behind her, panting. She felt his gun in her back and smelled the sickening smell of his cologne. She felt his hot breath in her ear.
You shouldn't have done that. Just when we were getting along so well, too. Now I'm going to have to take you and your precious laptop with me. We're going to walk, and you're going to take my arm like you like me. I will have my little friend Angie here just to make sure you do.
He took her laptop and tucked it under his arm, and he wiggled Angie up and down her back for emphasis.
She doesn't like to get upset, so let's play nice, okay?
Let me go. You can keep my friggin' laptop. It's all yours.
Walk, he said.
He held her arm tight as they headed to his black BMW sedan, parked around the corner at an expired meter. As he opened the passenger door and pushed her into the car, she noticed a trickle of blood dripping down his forehead. Kylie heard her cell phone vibrate in her purse.
Give me that phone, he said.
She handed it to him, and they both saw Bill Reinstadt's name as the incoming caller. He eyed her with one eyebrow raised.
My, my, Reinstadt. What are you into, Kylie?
Nothing that concerns you.
Well, just to be sure, you won't be needing this.
He threw her phone out the window, where it landed in the snow next to a tree. Kylie felt sick with fear and hopelessness. So much for texting Reinstadt. Now, most likely, the FBI would be after her, too. Fox headed the car towards the entrance of eastbound Storrow Drive.
Nice day for a little trip, don't you think? We finally got some sunshine. Too bad it's so cold. I can't remember November ever being this cold,
he chatted, speeding the BMW east with a view of the icy Charles River to their left and the backs of fancy Beacon Hill brownstones to the right.
Where are you taking me?
Kylie squeezed out the words, despite her throat choking them like a vice.
You know that someone will find me. Count on it.
Fox smirked as he silently turned off onto the ramp for the Tobin Bridge. He sped past Chelsea and Revere and on past all the strip malls on Route 1. Then he cut over to Route 95 at the Golden Banana.
Ever been? He asked, pointing to it. Great strip club. A girl like you could do well there.
Kylie didn't answer, but lowered her head and cried into her woolen scarf with silent tears. Finally, Fox exited at Newburyport and sped through the town of grand houses that had once belonged to sea captains and onward towards the beach. Shortly, they reached the long causeway out to Plum Island. Kylie had loved going there with her friends to swim in the summer, but on a raw November day, the wide expanses of brown reeds in the marshes and sky had turned gray with clouds that looked ominous and bleak as a bad omen. Once they neared the ocean, Fox slowed on a side street and turned into the driveway at a modern beach house with multiple decks that overlooked the Atlantic.
Sit tight and don't try anything, he said, stepping out of the car.
While he came around to get her, Kylie dried her eyes on her sleeve. Fox opened her door, grabbed her arm, and pulled her from the car with one hand. With the other, he held the gun. As Kylie emerged, she inhaled the pungent smell of the fishy salt air. Frantic, Kylie looked around for a way to escape. At low tide, the empty beach with powerful gray waves slamming the shore was one option, but she would be visible and an easy target. The other choice, and was the deserted street of desolate-looking weathered houses. With his gun nosed into Kylie's side, he pulled her up the icy steps through the front porch and unlocked the door.
Welcome home, he smirked.
The air inside smelled musty and was practically as cold as the outside, just not as windy.
I have to use the bathroom,
Kylie announced, shaking inside.
Sure thing. I wouldn't want you to be uncomfortable. It's down the hall to the left. Do not even think about trying anything.
The bathroom had no windows. Kylie checked the medicine cabinet, careful not to make a sound. She was hoping for a razor, imagining that she could give him a good gash, but it only contained a huge assortment of vitamins and supplements. She shook her head in disbelief. Evidently, Fox was a health nut. As she came out of the bathroom, oh so quietly, she heard him on the phone.
Yeah, now, he said, hanging up.
She imagined Fox's reinforcement appearing at any moment for her. Apparently, Fox hadn't heard her come out of the bathroom. She flattened herself against the wall and scoped out into the living room for something to hit him with from behind while he was still on the couch fiddling with his phone. Kylie only had a moment where surprise would be on her side, and she took it. Suddenly, she charged into the room, yanked a wrought iron lamp from the table, and with all her strength, smashed it on his head from behind. She fled, taking only a second to look at him and to see blood streaming down his dazed face, this time in full force. Kylie leaped down the icy steps, skidding as she landed on some ice. Regaining her balance, she crunched through the snow in the yard to the gravel driveway, hoping to hide behind the house next door. Fox's house was oddly quiet. In fact, the only sound was the thunderous crashing of the waves, rhythmically hitting the beach. Her heart beat wildly as the cold air stung her nostrils. After a few moments of watching the beach house, Kylie realized that Fox wasn't going to emerge. She sprinted as fast as she could down his street, dashing past a row of cottages until the street ended at the main beach. There, she turned towards town, running along the salt marsh on the causeway, the cruel wind biting at her cheeks. All the while, she prayed Fox didn't come for her, and the thought made her press on. The quarter mile to the bait and tackle store on the causeway, with the whipping wind, felt like a ski run. Breathless and hopeful, she rushed to its door and yanked it open. A surprised clerk in a flannel shirt looked up.
"Please help me," Kylie panted. "Please, do you have a place where I can hide? Can you call the police?"
Then she noticed three rolls of duct tape and a deep-sea fishing reel loaded with heavy fishing lines sitting on the counter. Perhaps this was an order that Fox had been calling in, and it was meant for her.
"Well, now," he said, "I'll take care of you, honey. You're not from around here, are you? You get in a tumble with one of our local boys? Seen you coming from the direction of Jerry's place. No one up there but him this time of year."
He reached for his phone just as Kylie, envisioning herself bound to a chair and gagged with tape, turned and fled. The road that ran along the marshes was wide open, and anyone would be able to see her running back towards Newburyport. Frantic, her heart hammered as she ran down to the salt marsh where she could hide among the tall reeds. In the summer, the muck beneath her feet would have swallowed her shoes, but it was now frozen and allowed her to walk it without sinking. Cautiously, she peeked her head above the cattails when she heard a car on the road only 20 yards away and saw the bearded clerk slowly driving a white pickup truck towards the beach. She crouched until she was sure that the only sound was the howling wind and the distant pounding surf. But after waiting 5 minutes that felt like an hour, Kylie saw the truck drive towards town, and then back again towards Fox's beach house. She squatted lower into the cattails, praying that he didn't see her. When it appeared that he had made his last pass over the causeway and the road had been empty for some time, she continued her trek towards Newburyport, her thigh muscles burning. The ice on the inlet under the bridge looked solid. She looked around, and not seeing anyone, Kylie quickly crossed the 15 feet of ice, leaping lightly onto her toes just as she heard it starting to crack beneath her feet. She had learned balance from skiing, and her muscles recalled it as she centered herself on the bumpy ice and then climbed the frozen bank to the other side. She headed towards the tiny Newburyport airport that she remembered just down the road. When the marsh gave way to an open field, she nimbly hoisted herself up from its banks and saw a helicopter parked near a row of tiny ultralight planes that looked more like toys. She remembered going there for an ultralight ride years ago with her friends. Grateful to see the light from its window, a beacon welcoming her from its squat little office, she sprinted across the field to the door of the tiny airport. Inside, a man in a fleece jacket and wire rims looked up, startled.
"Yes, can I help you?"
"Are you a pilot?"
she asked, searching his face and trying to sound casual and not to sound breathless. Not knowing if he was in with Fox, Kylie was not going to tell him anything. All she wanted to do was get out of there.
Yes?
He studied her as if she had descended from outer space. I lost my phone and am having a bit of an emergency. Can you fly me to Boston? He narrowed his eyes. I suppose so, yes. If you give me a few minutes, we can land at the airport if that works. That works. How much? $200. Can you do it now? Yes, just let me get permission to land. Okay, let's go. She pulled out her wallet and handed him her credit card, thinking that felt so normal during all the chaos. He looked at the card. Sure, Kylie. Just give me a minute to get my stuff together. I'm Mark, by the way. He ran her card and with excruciating slowness made a stack of some papers and tucked them into a desk drawer. Unable to watch what felt like a slow-motion movie, Kylie hugged herself and paced by the window to keep herself from screaming at him to hurry up. All the while, she scanned the horizon, looking for the dreaded white pickup truck. Was Mark in with them? He was slow enough that it felt like he was stalling. She considered that she might need to run, but finally, he made a phone call. He got the approval and hung up. Only when she heard the jingle of keys and she turned to watch him grab his coat off the hook by the door. Okay, ready? He said. Kylie nodded vigorously. Let's go then. She followed him out of the door to the helicopter, grateful that the door he opened for her was not facing the road. She climbed the steps on the wooden platform, and Mark jumped in, closed the door, and took the pilot's seat next to her. The helicopter whirred loudly, and he shouted. Sorry, but you have to put these seat belts on, he said. He then crisscrossed her securely with the belts and snapped them in. And then finally, feeling like salvation, and as if by magic, they lifted in the air. As the helicopter headed south, Kylie saw the weathered beach houses below. A white pickup truck parked behind Fox's BMW. Only when they were well on their way, flying over Ipswich, then the North Shore, did Kylie sit back in her seat and was able to breathe normally. She shut her eyes to keep tears from falling. Mark looked over at her.
Ever had a copter ride before?
She shook her head. No.
You okay?
Yes, I'll be fine. I just had a rough morning. How long will it take?
We should be on the ground in 10 minutes.
Kylie wished she could enjoy the sensational view of the coast, but inside, she was shaking from the morning's events and was still numb with cold. When they landed on the runway, she thanked Mark and speed-walked through the terminal to the taxi stand on the street. She directed the driver to near the corner where Fox had thrown her phone out the window on Berkeley Street. When they arrived, she paid the driver and hopped out. Slowly, she circled around the tree. At first, she didn't see it. But then, her heart leaped as she spotted her iPhone, still in its black rubber case, leaning up next to the trunk. A woman with a poodle paused by the tree, allowing her dog to sniff around it. Seeing that the dog had raised his back leg and was about to mark her phone to make it his own, Kylie snatched it up and shook off the snow. The woman gave her a strange look. Come on, Ollie, she said. When the phone lit up, Kylie cried with relief. She dialed Misha's number. Hey, this is Kylie. Where are you?
Home. Everything okay?
No, not really. Listen, it looks like I need your help after all. First, can you please change my password on OMG? Fox has my laptop. I'm going over to the Apple store now to replace it. Can you meet me there? I can't go back to my apartment. When you dropped me off, Fox was sitting there on my couch with a gun. You won't believe what I've just been through. I'll tell you all about it when I see you. I'm not sure where I should go or what I should do. I guess I'm feeling pretty shaky. I don't think I should go home, that's for sure.
Give me 10 minutes. I'll change password now. I'll meet you there as soon as I can.
Next, she texted Reinstadt.
Sorry for the delay. Fox kidnapped me and threw out my phone. I just found it. He has my laptop. I'm going to the Apple store now.
As she walked, Kylie checked her messages. One was from her mother, asking her to make a pie for Thanksgiving. She groaned. The others were from Bill Reinstadt with various versions of,
Hi, Kylie. Where are you? Please call me immediately.